Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the
title
of this thing. Don't title again.
And I did only be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Chick, chick. I'm back. I guess this would be the start of a new podcast, Dixon Jeans number 784. I worry a little bit. I mean, it's hard for anybody to keep up when I put out an hour a week. And so I try and pace myself and not do more than one podcast a week. But in these days of a lot of free time and just lots of things on my mind, it's hard to keep to that. But so far, I'm more or less around that mark. I'll even record, finish one, and hold it back a day. But anyway, here I am today. It is Sunday. It's early afternoon, and it's clouded over. It was beautiful an hour or so earlier this morning. Bright and sunny, and the clouds just rolled in. Not raining, but damn cold. I'm on my new spot that I've, the last several clips have been recorded from this very bench. There is nobody. I'm in this vast expanse. I mean, it's a soccer field backing onto a school playground with a kiddies playground on the side. And it's huge. Cedarbrook Park with this beautiful line that I'm looking at now of weeping willows. Oh, they are such a beautiful tree, and it's almost like a lime green. It's a bright light green as they just come into leafing. So they're not really leaves, but as they come alive after the winter, and it's so beautiful to look at. I'm looking in amazement at them right now. And what's funny, and what's beautiful, is I get to see them from the other side, from my back porch or out my back window. Because that's we're facing that line. So really, talk to my son sometimes, and I just don't want to sell our house. It is in a prime location, a quiet street, close to the GO train, close to a number 9 bus that takes you up to Scarborough Town Center, walking distance to another small mall. And soon it'll be connected, walking distance to the Eglinton Crosstown train that is late now, but scheduled to be open another couple of years. Anyway, location, location, location. The house is just not looking prime the way it was as a whole. I'd have to invest probably, if I wanted to sell it, probably $30,000 or so. Redo the kitchen, redo the floors, the back deck sliding door, lots would have to be done, but you'd get any of that money back if you had the time and the inclination, and I'm not good at those things. Anyway, the point is, I don't want to sell. I like it where I am, and now this has become a routine. This is maybe my third, my fourth day of doing this, just leaving, walking out the front door, along the sidewalk, Farmbrook, around the front of the school and in through the school parking lot and down to this bench. And then I cut to get home. I just cut straight across the field. And, 20 years ago, I must have cut a section of the fence out and put in a gate back when I did things so that the kids could get to school going out the back door. They'd come home for lunch and go out the back door and run up this hill and across the soccer field, and they're at school again. And I noticed we had neighbors move in with two young children, and they did exactly the same thing. Looked at ours and then cut out their section of the fence and put a gate for their kids. So anyway, home. Fortunate to have it, and especially of these times of this sort of almost quarantine. I didn't call up our church service today that they had scheduled. I really don't enjoy those things that much, sitting there. It might have been a good service. Who knows? I just didn't feel like it and watched TV instead. And I've been watching a lot of great movies. Last night I watched Touch of Evil, which I'd seen before, but recorded it with Orson Welles. And it was a nasty bit of film. It was quite well done. And the Kurosawas, I guess I mentioned before how much I enjoyed those. that I also recorded from Turner Classic Movies. So a lot of film. And then there's also these, you know, happy hour gatherings using Zoom. And I tried. John Meadows has a good one going, and everybody else loves it. I it's not for me. And it's not because I can't be the center of attention. I know a lot of people might think that. Oh, that's because you don't get to control the conversation. And I suppose to a degree that's true when we're at the only cafe. I like to, it's not that I want to be the only one talking, but I want to somehow direct, so I get real conversation from people. But that's a very different thing. But it's really not for me. And in fact, somebody said, you're getting cranky. And that was Tom. When he said, he just suddenly, I'm going to say this. Tom won't mind. He sometimes listens. A text out of the blue on my cell phone. Tell me your six favorite songs from the 60s or five favorite songs from the 60s. Like, no introduction. I hadn't heard from the guy for a very long time. Nothing at all. Just five. And my answer was just no. And then, you know, I think I was told eat shit or something. But people do that, you know. Go. They'll say something on the internet. Recommendations for good restaurants in Brampton. Go. Fuck you. What do you mean, go? Fuck you. God, that just pisses me off so much. And it's a thing. And there's a rudeness, and it's generational. My generation certainly wouldn't do that. Go. Fuck you. Honestly. So there's all these games, these fucking memes going now. The memes where you just look at them and laugh. I love those, you know, with the pussycat and the woman screaming. But these games people are playing, you know, top 10 albums or 10 jobs, write 5 jobs you had or 10 jobs you had and one of them wasn't real and see if we can guess. Oh, fuck off. I find them all so unimaginative. And so I do join in and I deliberately give a stupid answer. Like, six famous people, and one of whom you've never met, but you're supposed to have met the other. So I just named six podcasters and ended up with Prince Charles, you know. Guess. Todd Maffin, Bob Goyette, Mark Blevis, Adam Greatrix, Prince Charles. You know, which one haven't I met? I do that deliberately, and people seem to like it, but there's an annoyance to it. Because a lot of these things are just, it's copy and paste, and they're not original, they're not creative, they're just fucking annoying. So yeah, all right, am I getting grumpy? Yeah. I think the thing is, though, often I put up with things, you know, some of you might challenge that too, but I'm feeling more inclined to speak my mind and not have to play along, and part of it must be age-related, how much time you got left anyway. And why would you put up with any bullshit anyway? So to call people. So like calling Tom on that. Fuck you. What do you mean? Tell me 6 months. Did you even ask? What are you doing now? How are you? How's your wife? You know, here I am sitting watching A Touch of Evil. And suddenly somebody wants me to change what I'm doing. Get into my fucking head because you can. Because I happen to be holding a computer or a cell phone, jump into a person's head and say, okay, now change whatever the fuck you're doing. Do this for me now. Fuck you. Fuck you. Okay, sorry. I guess I had that. Needed to get that out of my system. No offense, Tom. I mean, then he said, then he posted, you're getting cranky. Old and cranky or something like that. And I said, oh, that's better. Now we're talking, you know. Now we're back to being friends. So no harm done, but I just, you know, hey, that's what you get. And then in the end, after that, when it already invaded my head and, you know, taken over my thinking box, I said, just listen to Second Side Abbey Road. You want six good songs? Here's a couple of extras in there. Listen, just, you want some music from the 60s. Your favorite tunes from the 60s. That was it. All right. Just put on side 2 or side B, Abbey Road. There you go. And if you have a problem with those songs, you don't even fucking bother listening to any of my suggestions. Steve Cloutier is putting up some great music every, you know, I think he does this Friday, Saturday nights, and he just puts his tunes and puts the link up. So this is something that you wouldn't have had in my day, where I just have to click on that and I can see the song, hear the song, and maybe even watch a video that goes with it. But again, I was watching a movie. I don't feel like listening to music tonight. Thank you very much. But at least I told him I appreciated his choices. Now, I was alone in the park, and here's a man with a big German Shepherd, and that German Shepherd looks so happy, just taking a full-length run of the park, off-leash, no other dogs around. And that's okay, and this man is a good distance away from me. If I threw a rock with all my might, I'd probably get halfway to him or two-thirds of the way. I wouldn't hit him. Okay? If you needed to know how far away is that man you're talking about. Speaking of the man, on my way here, just before I turned in, a car stopped. And the guy rolled his window down. Okay. Maybe, probably lost. That's what people do, you know. They want directions in this neighborhood. So all the roads are windy and curvy, and it is very easy if you don't know your way around to get lost. And then Wolf waved his hand to come over. And I'm on the sidewalk, and he's on the other side of the road, you know, heading the opposite direction. And I'm saying, no. He said, no, and he's waving, and it's a rude waving, like an insistent waving. What the fuck? Nobody does that. Usually somebody, they roll down the window and say, excuse me. You know, that's what they start with. And so, I don't know, I might have, you know, I guessed he's lost. I don't know if I said any words he lost or... Anyway, he just kept waving. And I thought, okay. And so I stepped into the street, but kept, you know, a good 8 feet away from him, from the car. And he holds out his hand, and he's got a gold chain in it. And he wants to sell it. He wants money. And as it looked like there was a little girl in the back seat. And I was so pissed off. Like, you fucking asshole. During this time... And this is where I'm supposed to say, I'm let you know that I'm lacking in compassion, because I had none for this guy. In this time, he expects a stranger to walk over and pick a gold necklace, or whatever it was, out of his hand? A stranger in a car driving by? Like, doesn't he fucking know? Like, what the fuck was that all about? And I just, you know, when I saw what he had, like, I walked towards, and then when I saw he's holding up this chain and wanting, and he just said, no money, or something like that. Like, you know, maybe, okay, he's hard-hipped, it's money. Is this a good time to bake? Well, fuck you, man. I don't think he had much English, because there were very few words spoken. And I was just, no, I don't want that fucking thing. I don't know if I said fucking thing, because there was a girl in the car. I probably didn't. So I don't want that. And then as I got back on the sidewalk, I yelled back, sell your car. You know, don't drive around my neighborhood trying to pawn gold jewelry. Jesus Christ. Honestly, it just, I'm sorry to waste your time with this, but it was, I did have an emotional reaction. And, well, I think you just heard it. All right, let's drop that. But it's bewildering. It's like that couple who threw their gloves under their car as they drove off with their fresh groceries. Otherwise, things are going okay. I'm not too much more to say about the pandemic. And my God, you got to feel sorry for our European friends. Spain, Italy, Germany, France. Jesus Christ. All right. I don't know if I have... anything else to add to this? This is just a start. I've got 13 minutes here. I know I've got to save a little bit of time so that I can keep coming back, because the need is there. I've got to record. But, yeah, I'll just shut this down now and get back to you. And who knows when? Might be probably tomorrow. Scabbard Dude signing out from Cedar Grove or Cedarbrook Park. Bye for now. Might be Cedar Grove. Not sure. Bye-bye.
Holler and scream because our friend's so. Laughter and death is such a terrible blow. Back out, it was just a sack of gold. Misery got me and I'm feeling low. Trouble follows me wherever I go. Back out, it was just a sack of gold. Trouble, one thing I understand, seems to be a part of me. Misery and me go hand in hand, never ever let it be. Sure as I'm born, one thing I know, the bag I'm in is just a sack of gold.
Check. Good afternoon. It is about 1:40 on a Tuesday afternoon, April 7th, and I am once again sitting on my bench in Cedar Grove Park. There is one other person in the park today. It is a young woman, pair of shorts, a soccer ball, and a dog. And she's taking over the whole park from one end to the other. I guess just getting some exercise, just to live in the area. But we are, again, a large distance. We haven't even acknowledged each other, so that's fine. Nobody's going to interfere or take over my bench. I was worried she'd be a little too close and I have to sit somewhere else. But no, I've got it, claimed it, stamped it, nailed it. It's mine. Yeah, I'll warn you right now, I am in a grumpy mood again, and I'm wondering if this is going to be the new norm. My hand, you know, I've talked every episode about this carpal tunnel, and it's not going away, and it's like a constant tingling that never stops, like an electrical current in my thumb and the next two fingers, the index finger and the middle finger. The fingernails are growing because I usually bite my fingers, and I've never, you know, in all my life have seen my fingernails this long on those three digits. And I tried clipping them today, but the clipping it's the weirdest feeling of just, it's like it's a live circuit, and you're going to get a shock if you touch them. And so even holding the nail clipper up to the fingertip, it's really unpleasant. Like, it's scary. It's just like that, you know? Ooh. So anyway, and this is not going to go away without surgery. And who the hell knows when there's going to be surgery? So it's an inconvenience. But and then, man, I woke up in the middle of the night. My leg was irking. My leg was irking. I like that. My leg irks. Maybe I'm losing it. I don't know. It's very hard keeping track of the days, even the weekends. You know, at least to me, you could, you know, it's easy to confuse a day of the week, but whether it's a weekend or a weekday, I don't know. I'm balanced today. I've got it figured out because my wife is working again from home today because her boss had to go in and they're trying to alternate. And she is on a live conference, a video conference, what do you call it? A seminar or webinar. Yeah, there you go. And but need a little help getting dialing in and getting it set up. So she's got it on this same lousy computer that doesn't have speakers or a mouse with it. And the audio is coming in through her cell phone, which she dialed into. So I left and it was working, and hopefully everything will be okay. I made a point of not leaving until it was set up, and she was all right with that. Yeah, so, you know, this lack of sleep, tossing, turning, oh, my leg aches, leg irks. And I don't want to take another pill. I have cut back on the medication. I'm looking. I've got enough pills left if I do four a day for, I guessed, looking at the bottle, for about 2 weeks. And then I'm going to have to call my doctor and say, okay, what do I need now? What's another painkiller? But preferably something that will take care of the arthritis, too. And there are things like that. Although there was another story, something about ibuprofen and COVID-19, I don't know. So I want a professional opinion for when these are done. So I'm intentionally not taking many. I'm cutting back to four a day or less. But I'm paying the price for it, too. Like, I'm just sitting here, God damn, this irks. All right, that's the end of the health report. Boris Johnson, speaking of health, is in intensive care in the ICU unit. And I'm sad about that. I mean, I referred to him as a buffoon. But you know, you don't wish anybody harm. Even Trump, you know, you don't want people suffering, and certainly you don't want the leader of the country dying. It's sort of like a reality check. Hey, this thing is not just a little bit of the flu. Even world leaders who will probably have like the best doctors in England, you know, there for them, whatever is needed, this guy's going to get. And yet here he is. He's had it for a while. He didn't shake it, and then last night, brought into hospital. So as of this podcast, who knows? It's like what's the name? The cat in the box? Is it Schroeder's? Not Schroeder's. I forget the name. You know it. Whether he's alive or dead by the time you hear this podcast, hopefully he'll get better. I'm not worried about catching this thing myself at all. But today, I realized, I talked to my accountant yesterday. And I'm in a weird position. The government is giving some money out for people who've lost their business as a result of COVID-19. Now, I have clearly lost my business. But I'm in two positions. As a business owner, this was my only contract, a once-yearly tour, which was canceled. So from the company point of view, you'd think I'd be able to apply for some sort of thing. But what they're saying is, no, we want you to keep your company alive and keep your employees on your payroll, so we'll subsidize the payroll a little bit. Well, I don't really have a payroll. So then you go back to, well, and you're self-employed. Do you work for somebody or are you self-employed? Well, I'm an owner of a company, but I'm also, so that makes me self-employed, but I'm also an employee because that company pays me a consulting fee every month, and I'm not able to pay that anymore because there's no money coming in. So as an employee, I'm not getting paid. But I tried getting on, and of course, today is anybody with a birthday, April, May, or June. There seems to be a lot of them in Canada, and everybody's on at once in the system. You just can't get through. You couldn't get through on a phone line. You can't get through to even to register on the computer. It's kind of hopeless, so I'm going to have to wait. And hopefully, I think the whole thing would be retroactive anyway. So maybe wait till the first million or so people have put in their bids. I would not feel guilty. I'd be happy if at the end of it they said, oh, sorry, we shouldn't have given you that money. Give it back. I would give it back. But I am entitled one way or the other. It's just even my accountant said, I just don't know what side you're on as a company or as an employee. So are you self-employed or are you an employee? That was what it came down to. And then the trick question was, have you worked 30 hours a week full-time? For at least 4 months. Well, full-time means 30-plus hours a week. Well, I don't work 30 hours a week for this, except when the girls are here. When the girls are here for 3 weeks, I work day and night, 24 hours a day for that entire three-week period. But in the 4 months prior to that, or 3 months prior to that, it's just here and there where I need it. So really, I'm kind of a part-time employee. And that puts me in another category altogether. So anyway. I knew if I didn't plan what to say. All right, new topic. Our good friend, the virtual Youper, who I've talked about too much on this podcast and won't go on about him here, has kept the, not the rights to it, but kept the name Canadian Podcast Buffet, I believe, up and has set it up so that he can have that running again for people like himself and others who want to put up a show so that there would actually be a whole channel, I guess, of a Canadian Podcast Buffet, and all of us who are friends and hang out together could send in shows. I guess you might send them via him, or, he'll probably give some further instructions. So that they could be put up there and there'd be some regular shows coming in on it. And he said it could be a show from the past or a new one. And so I went back and I thought, okay, I'm just going to go back 10 years ago, exactly 10 years ago. And lo and behold, I was raving about these weeping willow trees that I was just raving about in this first clip on this podcast, the ones I'm looking at right now. They are so beautiful. And sure enough, in April 2010, one of my podcasts was about those trees. I think I probably even posted a picture about how much I love them and describing them in detail. So I thought that was kind of neat. But I also, it's a Dixon Jane's podcast. And for some reason, it's not that I don't feel it's worthy at all. But it didn't seem right for me to be putting up those. Maybe one of the interview shows, like with Tim Coyne, something from the past, that might be interesting. And the idea, to me, would be interesting because we do have such a history as Canadian podcasters of putting up things that, show some of the history. So an interview, when I did the talking with various people, talking to Tim, one of those might be interesting. Tim Coyne was a very interesting guy who, I guess any of the newbies, and I guess our new American friends and a lot of people listening to this show won't even know him. But he did the Hollywood podcast, and he was very good. It was great. But we've sort of lost touch with him. And then there was C.C. Chapman and Digital Detroit. I forget his name. Back in those early, early days. But enough of nostalgia. Anyway, so I just thought, yeah, great idea. But I don't really know how I fit in. Okay, 10 minutes, 11 minutes. I think I'm going to stop in this. I think what I'll do is I'll pause here. And if I have a new, fresh topic that is worth giving your ears to, giving to your ears, I'll come back. Hang on.
The tall man with a guitar in his hand, it's Chet.
Yes, Chet. He's the guitar picker's picker, no one picks him quicker than Chet.
Yes, Chet.
He first learned to play down East Tennessee way, then he started into Rome.
playing here and there, playing everywhere,
till Nashville called him home.
Lucky are the strings that are caressed by the fingers of Chet.
All the guitars in the land have voted him the man whose business they'd like to get.
From Australia to Kokomo, from Africa to Ohio, toes are a-tapping and fingers are a-snapping to the music of that country gentleman. Guitar picking Chet Atkins.
Chet.
Yes, Chet. All the guitars in the land have voted him the man whose business they'd like to get. From Liverpool to Tokyo, from Montreal to El Paso, toes are a-tapping and fingers are a-snapping to the music of that country gentleman.
That's it.
Guitar picking Chet Atkins.
Guitar picking Chet Atkins.
Okay. That's the big bell. We'll only ring that baby once. Sitting in the road track, it was too windy when I did my walk today. Same walk I did yesterday, the double walk. It was a bit windy on the bench. And so I figured, I'll save that for Sal. Haven't been here for a while, and I had to get Sal's registration number or some numbers. I have to renew the sticker plates, the little stickers that go on your license plate. And when I logged on today, they just said, hey, we're way behind, you know, no hurry. Yeah, in other words, we're not going to ticket anybody who's behind. I've already paid one of those tickets for a late sticker date. It's the month of your birthday. Whoever owns the vehicle, you have to do it, and you can renew for 1 or 2 years. So, anyway, that's why I'm here. That was my excuse anyway. I did one of those things that I rarely do, and that is made a list of points I kind of wanted to cover. Again, I worry sometimes about, Jack, I can't put out more than once a week. But I think I'm going to be okay. I think they've been on Fridays, and I'll finish this today. It's Thursday, and what is it, May, April 9th? Yeah. And late in the afternoon, almost 5. My wife is going out for a walk after work. So, oily peanut butter. First thing on my list, oily peanut butter. I hate that. I guess sometimes you go in and they have these natural peanut butters, and when you get it home, the top half inch at least is just all the oil that wasn't got mixed in. And it's a bugger because at the bottom, it's hard as a rock, and you've got to stir all that in, and I haven't found a good way. I get a big long fork or knife and stir, and it never gets all the oil in. And by the end of that jar, you end up with just like really hard, crusty peanut butter. I suppose you could add some oil. I think, in fact, I've even tried that, and it's not the right thing to do. So I don't know what the issue is. Like, why is it like that? I'm not even looking for answers. I just, you know, I know if you buy the bad stuff, you know, the kids, you know, I can't even remember the brand names, but, you know, Happy Peanut Butter, you get it crunchy or whatever. It's never like that. It's when it's probably a better product with more oil or more natural peanut oil or whatever It's just harder to deal with. So I've tried putting it in the fridge. That helps. Turning it upside down, putting it in the fridge, whatever. But why did I even have that on my list? Oh, in relation to COVID-19 and the pandemic and people staying home, my God, everybody's talking about it, but I am also in on it, just eating more snacks than usual. Like we've got a cupboard full of chips and cookies and stuff that I normally could limit myself. There's two kinds of ice cream in the fridge, and even my wife is into it, and my son, and almost everybody I follow on Facebook or wherever talks about the, you know, gaining pounds during this time. Number one, for not, you know, doing as much exercise and walking, but having all this free time, and you sort of just, you know, I just always, ooh, I feel like something to eat, and you wander in, you open the closet or cupboard door, and there's snacks there until there are not. So there's been a lot of that going on. Same topic. I went, did a shopping yesterday. We were out of cat food, and I promised my wife, look, I'll do at least this one thing I can do. And I have a favorite, I think it's Price Choppers, where I go to up on Ellesmere and McCowan. And I just know my way around that store, so it's convenient to go in, and it's cheap. So I showed up yesterday, and there was a lineup outside, and I walked in with my cane and looking as old as I am, and they waved me right in. Security, there was a security guard outside. I thought, oh, that's kind of nice. And I got in, and it was, the store was, you know, minimal number of people, which is great. All the aisles marked with arrows, like down this way, up this way, which was good. I only had to correct one person. And then, you know, the stand behind the 6 feet at the counter while you're checking out. So it was really neat. And a security guard inside, too, keeping an eye on things. So I thought that was quite wonderful. And I would hope almost that some of these things, I mean, I guess you don't want people waiting outside once this thing is over. By the way, predictions are it won't be, you know, it won't be over for quite a while, not till maybe the end of summer, I guess, is the predictions they're looking at now. And then they're thinking maybe this virus will come back in waves after that. So we're in for the long haul. And I guess the worry is that if people give up too soon and say, all right, enough of this, I did my 2 weeks, let's get back to partying, it'll spread again. So it's going to be very hard to keep the public in line for this long. Civilized people like ourselves, listeners of the Dixon Janes podcast. And by the way, there's another point. It wasn't on my list, but it's one I remember. I have a diverse group of listeners, and some who've been with me all the time, some for a long time, some relatively new, I guess. Lots who've just simply dropped out because it seems to be the same old guy droning on, and that's fine. But people are quite different. They've come at it from different connections or how they even found me. And then I realized today, wow, every single one of you listeners, every single one of you listening to this episode right now and the previous few are going through this same pandemic. We all have this in common. There was nothing else. There was no common factor I would have found before except for this. And of course, it's just different degrees for everybody, the severity, the hardships, whether or not you have young children to look after, you know, whether you're in a house or an apartment, you know, people you need to help close by, parents or something. There's just so many variables in there. My wife and I are in a fairly lucky position here. Damn, my list just checked out. You know, with this damn thumb, it doesn't seem to register when I touch buttons on my iPhone. The numb thumb from the, I was going to say paranormal, from the carpal tunnel. I have a paranormal thumb. That'd be a good title there if I was doing crazy titles. Paranormal thumb. Okay, so anyway, all right, so shopping, so it was an enjoyable experience overall, you know, even though my son had advised me. Oh, and I did wear a mask. My wife brought masks back from Japan. She always has a supply of them, and so I did wear a mask while I was in there, and it gets kind of warm, you know, and moist, but It was a good thing to have. Woke up this morning and realized, shit, you know, I haven't had a visa statement come in for quite a while, and I hate ever paying, you know, late dues, overdue. Usually they'll give you a warning. And sometimes, I guess, things just don't come through in the mail because I'm still having one particular card or, you know, statement mailed to me. Others are just online. I prefer the mailing, especially as a business. It's nice to be able to turn them over to my accountant and say, here they are, you know, rather than me print them out. But anyway, I showed two charges from Arizona today, April 9th. And I thought, that is odd. Now, maybe there's some store that my wife bought at, and their head office in Arizona. That doesn't make sense at all. And so I called them, and they transferred me, you know, found out who I was, what was going on, said, oh, we'll have to transfer you to fraud. And sure enough, they said, we flagged that last night. I said, well, when were you going to call me? Well, there's a whole queue, and we eventually get around to everybody. And so I texted my wife, and she texted back later saying, well, they already called me. So canceled the card. So I'm kind of impressed that they're on top of it right away. That didn't make sense. And it's unfortunate that somewhere here in Scarborough, where my wife has used her credit card, somebody has copied that card. And, you know, or whatever it is they do. And tried to use it for two small purchases under $50. That's how they usually test the card. And so, of course, I won't be paying those. But meanwhile, my wife will be missing a credit card. Anyway, that's done. So one more thing off the list here. Halfway through. Couple of things. 440 deaths in Canada so far. Now, we don't need to talk about that. I was encouraged by somebody, in fact, I'll mention it now, Glenn in Winnipeg. Thank you, Glenn. Wrote me a letter. Glenn has written to me before, and just, that's not a COVID cough. Always encourages me to, you know, keep going. I'm listening. I like it. And really, when you get things like that, it really goes a long way. It really helps. It just, you know, because you do wonder, I wonder, about, you know, what is the point maybe? And, you know, is this just, you know, who would really want to listen to this? And is there anything I'm saying worthwhile? And Glenn in particular liked the fact that I was talking about how COVID-19 was infecting us or doing it. So I'm going to read what he stated, and with thanks again to Glenn, who gave me another very interesting idea, and I'm not going to mention it here, but stay tuned, and if I follow his suggestion, you will know about it. But meanwhile, you should never worry about saying too much, as you are simply externalizing many of the thoughts and emotions we are all going through. Please continue to do what you do so well. And I really appreciate that. And it's similar to the message I talked about, I guess, a few weeks ago that from somebody else had written in and said, just keep on going. I like your honesty. So I'm going to tell you some honesty now in keeping with that I'm embarrassed about. And I'm not, you know, this is not something I'm doing with any degree of pride or boasting. It's disappointing in some ways of my behavior. And yesterday, I was just in a bad mood all day. And I'd like to attribute it to, okay, maybe this thing is getting to me. Maybe I'm not aware at all that I'm impacted. In fact, I've been telling people I'm enjoying this isolation. I like this, you know, just all this free time, unstructured. And I was seeing, comparing it to that drive across the country where you're in your car and you're in Saskatchewan and it's so long before you get to your destination, Vancouver, and Toronto in the back is so far away that you feel this tremendous freedom. I don't have to do anything. I just have to keep driving. Just drive straight. And it's a very, I find it a just incredibly liberating feeling. And to some degree, I'm feeling that with this thing, maybe because my tour is not coming this summer and I have kind of an open, there's really nothing I have to do. Wow, this is amazing. So I've kind of been enjoying it. But on the other hand, I have been noticing I'm a little grumpy, a little bit short-tempered. And I mentioned before how my wife did not like me swearing. Well, yesterday, when I did my shopping, I bought some coffee. It was on sale. It was Starbucks. And I thought, that's kind of handy because the routine in our house is my wife gets up. I often get up before her, but she gets up. And I set out two cups. And on top of one of the cups, I put this little ceramic holder for these paper coffee filters. And I place a paper coffee filter there. And I fill up the hot water kettle type thing. And I even turn it on so that it's boiled already and it's ready. So when she comes down, she goes and gets her coffee beans, puts them in the grinder, and grinds up the beans, and then puts them in the filter that I've left for her, and fills up two cups, and often just brings one into me sitting in the living room watching the news, or I'll come out and get it. But that's just been a routine. So yesterday I came home with this bag of coffee and she said, well, you know, you could just grind some. And instead of me saying, yeah, but I started explaining, well, I don't want to run the grinder. If you're sleeping, I just want to have instant, you know, coffee that they're already ground. I don't want to use the grinder. It's noisy. And she sort of said, I don't know, said something. It doesn't really matter. You can do it anyway. And my reaction was, are you blaming her, accusing her of sort of jumping on me because I had spent money buying a bag of coffee when we have tons of coffee in the house that are already there? And so my reaction was, I can just buy fucking coffee if I want to buy coffee. I don't think I said fucking. I think, you know, I held back on that. But damn it, I can buy coffee. I want to buy. What the hell? I went shopping. I bought coffee. What the hell's the matter with that, you know? And I just lost it, thinking she was hounding me about buying coffee, which she wasn't. But I took it that way, like it was an infringement on my personal freedom. And this is something I can't handle from anybody telling me what to do. In this case, a total overreaction, ridiculous overreaction. And she kept talking. I said, that's enough. Enough. All right. I heard you. All right. Okay. I bought some coffee. Jesus. And I just went upstairs and left her still talking. And only much later, after I had done something similar to my son, hung up on him in the middle of a call because he said something in a way I didn't like. I said, I bought some instant rice. And he reacted like instant rice because he's telling me I should be preparing meals for my wife. Like, why don't you do something nice and make, you know, make a dinner? And I'm saying, well, you know, and I'm making excuses. And so anyway, that was one of the reasons I went shopping yesterday. And so instant rice, like, you know, hey, what the hell? What kind of meal is that? And for me, this is a step. Hey, I'm doing something. At least we'll have rice with the meal. It's what I can do, and I assumed he was jumping on me, and I just lost it with him. And he said, Dad, I'm going to hang up. If you're just overreacting. And so I just hung up on him and later called back and apologized, which he accepted and said, I understand. It's okay. That wasn't what I was doing. And then I went up to my wife and apologized to her for I'm really sorry about that. And it turns out, what I missed entirely, maybe some of you might have guessed, what she was really getting at was every morning when I set up these two cups of coffee, so that when she comes down, there's two empty cups, one of them has a paper filter on top ready to go, and the coffee is in the freezer. What she was maybe getting at was, I could actually go into the freezer and get the coffee beans out and grind some beans and have it ready so that when she comes down, there's fresh coffee for her rather than me waiting for her. In other words, I don't have to wait for her to come down and make the coffee for me. I could have done it. And I felt really, really badly that I just totally missed that. So I'm telling you, Well, just to come clean about what a jerk I can be sometimes and always, and this is a repeated pattern, as you've probably heard, it takes a while for me to sort these things out, and I hope every single time I do something stupid like that, that I'm going to learn, and the next time, I'm less likely to. So, for example, tonight, when she comes back after her walk, I will be preparing supper, and one of these days... I will surprise her by having coffee, and I'll run the coffee grinder and have it ready for her. So, yeah, perhaps I'm learning. So let's just leave that there. New topic. How are we doing for time? Oh, it's going to be pretty long, but I think I just want to motor on. Invasion of space. I mentioned earlier when Tom said, you know, give me five favorite songs from the 60s, and I said, fuck you. I'm finding I'm enjoying this time, but there's all these games and things on, you know, 10 albums, just put the title, just put the album, don't put the title, don't say anything, just a picture, and, you know, all these things going on. Well, you can just ignore them, that's it. But I'm also finding I'm getting FaceTime and phone calls that I don't always want. So, like, I had a long talk. Well, even with family members, sort of asking about my health, well, how are you doing? How's your leg? How's the knee? And I don't want to talk about it. And I know it's rude to say, you know, I don't want to, but I'm getting text messages, I'm getting FaceTimes, I'm getting phone calls, none of which I want. I want this little bit of isolation. And I know the answer is, well, just don't answer. Don't pick up the FaceTime call. You don't have to. So yesterday, when my son called, I was watching with my wife Coronation Street, and I said, I'll have to call you back, and that was okay, and I did. And then later, my dear, dear friends in Vancouver, who I stay with and rave about when I'm sitting drinking wine on their back deck, called to FaceTime, and it was a cheery sort of, hi, excuse me. Oh, dear, and I coughed into my hand, too. Oh, my God. Oof, so many things I'm doing wrong. I didn't want to talk. And I just said, I'll call you back. And we went back on watching Tiger King. I took my wife through the whole series. Tiger King, did I say that right? Yeah. It was even fun the second time around. But I didn't want to talk to people. And these virtual, you know, drink-a-thons with your friends, I don't want to be online talking to friends. And I guess it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not. But, like, when I finally got... I got two calls today, and I didn't want the calls. And they were polite, friendly calls from people I care about. And I don't want them. I don't want the calls. So, is that a sign I'm really just getting really cantankerous and old and grumpy? Or is it an effect from this mix-up we're having with our lives being changed because of this virus, and that I'm not getting my normal outlets, like every week or two going to the only cafe and getting my fix of real contact with real people and real conversations, and everything is out of whack now? I don't know. But I know that I'm very likely to get aggravated by people calling me. So if you're a listener, don't call. I don't mind an email. Email I can handle. Email I welcome. I can deal with it on my own time, answer or not answer. And I'm still with Barnacle Bill. We're still exchanging email every day, at least once a day. So I'm going to leave it at that. I had something else to read, and I'm not going to read it. That's it. That's plenty long for you, for me, and I think we more or less covered everything on the list. So, Scarborough Dude, pretty well near the end, if this isn't the end of the podcast. Bye for now. I'm back. It is the Thursday before Easter. Same day I was just talking to you. So this is not really much of an Easter podcast at all. in fact. But I did find something special I wanted to share with you. I was just going through bits of paper, sorting out my inbox, and I found a poem, and I was going to read that to you. I thought, that's kind of nice. I didn't quite sure. I'm sure I got it from somewhere from church. And then I thought, well, maybe there's, just in case, you know, somebody's made a typo, I better find the original online. And the title was My Soul Has a Hat. And I thought, gee, even the title doesn't sound right. My Soul Has a Hat. So I found it, and I'm going to read it to you. And what I'm very happy about is the paper I had really only had half the poem. The main point was missing. So had I read that earlier in the road trek, it would have been kind of embarrassing because it would have been a poem with probably the most important part missing. So here it is. It's by Mario de Andrade. Lived 1893 to 1945. Brazilian. He was a poet, novelist, essayist, and musicologist. And I guess the key figure in modernism. So, My Soul Has a Hat. I counted my years and realized that I have less time to live by than I had lived so far. I feel like a child who won a pack of candies. At first, he ate them with pleasure, but when he realized that there was little left, he began to taste them intensely. I have no time for endless meetings where the statutes, rules, procedures, and internal regulations are discussed, knowing that none will be done. I no longer have the patience to stand absurd people who, despite their chronological age, have not grown up. My time is too short. I want the essence. My spirit is in a hurry. I do not have much candy in the package anymore. I want to live next to humans, very realistic people, who know how to laugh at their mistakes, and who are not inflated by their own triumphs, and who take responsibility for their actions. In this way, human dignity is defended, and we live in truth and honesty. It is the essentials that make life useful. I want to surround myself with people who know how to touch the hearts of those whom hard strokes of life have learned to grow with sweet touches of the soul. Yes, I'm in a hurry. I'm in a hurry to live with the intensity that only maturity can give. I do not intend to waste any of the remaining desserts. I'm sure they will be exquisite, much more than those eaten so far. My goal is to reach the end satisfied and at peace with my loved ones and my conscience. We have two lives, and the second begins when you realize you only have one. Sorry, I muffed it up a bit, but it's a wonderful poem. Best wishes to all of you out there, and maybe some of you are missing family at this time. Do what you can, and maybe again through this coronavirus, some of us will wake up to the things that are really important and understand that there are so many things we think we value that really aren't very important at all. Take care. Bye for now. I'm a cork on the ocean.